Is URM
50 up for Cobain, just 19 deliveries. Well, might the Gloucestershire players be standing in the dugout?
Hello and welcome to Sticky Wicket, the only podcast that thinks Surrey players have the best haircuts in all of cricket. Today we have another fantastic episode for you guys. As usual, I'm joined by my multi-award winning co-host, Dom Allen. How are you, Dom?
You didn't need to say that. That makes me look like I've written the script and put that in. Toby, that was all you. I'm good. I'm really excited for today.
Yeah, and today we're really lucky enough. We've got a fantastic interview with Gloucester cricketing hero, Ian Cobain, one of the best batsmen in T20 cricket. How are you, Ian?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, we're so excited. And it's great to have you on. I've been lucky enough to see Ian score so many runs down at the County Ground. We have so many questions about what it's like to actually be a professional cricketer. But we've got to start with the URN Super Over. It's a bit of a tradition. It's six quickfire questions, Ian, and we need some six quickfire answers. Toby, are you ready?
I am ready. We'll get on it. So, first question, Ian. Which athlete from any other sport would you like to see play cricket?
Well, I guess Usain Bolt. I reckon he could bowl pretty quick.
Would you like to face him out of interest?
Oh, it'd be nice to say that you faced him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. A Lord's Test 5 or a Lord's Test 100?
Oh, I've got to be 100.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. That's a batsman. What has been your favourite match you've seen live or on TV?
Oh, geez, that's a good one. I don't know if I can give you a quickfire answer for that one. Probably got to be the World Cup final, hasn't it? When was that? Last year, 2 years ago?
I mean, that's becoming, everyone seems to be answering that. But just a spin-off question, what's the best game you've played in?
I've got a couple of different ones, really. Making my first class debut was pretty special. Yeah, you know, sort of went around the houses to get there. I was 24 when I made my debut, so I was probably a bit older than most. So that was nice. But also playing at Lords, and we chased down a decent total at Lords, and I got 100, which was nice.
We're going to slightly adapt this next question. If you're walking out to bat for Gloucester, what song do you want and why?
Well, being from Liverpool and supporting Everton, I'll probably go Zed Cars.
Very nice, yeah. So what are three essentials of cricketing tea?
Oh, geez. A cup of tea, for a start. We normally come across a lasagna. That's normally on the menu. You probably get about 10 of them a year. And some sort of dessert, probably a chocolate brownie or something like that. That'll be pretty nice, especially after a long day in the field.
Oh, that does sound rather tempting, I'm going to be honest. Last question. Would you rather be at a test match at Lord's in the pavilion or in the Holly Stand on finals day?
Oh, probably in the Holly Stand on finals day.
Yeah, that seems to be the sort of common answer from the younger generation. And we've...
I'm not quite sure I fit into that younger generation category, though.
Thank you so much for being part of that Super Over. Let's start at the beginning of your career. Your dad used to play cricket for Lancashire, and you're from Bootle, as you said, off air. So how did a Bootle boy find his way down to Bristol?
Like I said before, just went around the houses a little bit, really. I played all my junior cricket at Lancashire, right from under-11s all the way through. Had 2 years on the academy there, played a couple of seasons in the second team. And when I was sort of trying to break through, Lancs had such a huge squad, it was tough to get a game. I was sort of in and out of the seconds, and I was sort of contemplating whether cricket was going to be the go for me in terms of as a job. So I got the opportunity to move down to the MCC Young Cricketers, which I didn't really hesitate. I sort of snapped that up pretty quickly, and I moved down to London. I had 2.5 years down there, done pretty well. And then Gloucester was one of those teams where I'd always do well against them. It was just the way it happened, and then I went on a trial and got some old runs on a trial game, and then the rest is history, really. And like I said, I was 24 when I got signed, so it's probably a bit older than the norm.
Yeah, your then very first professional appearance came against Derbyshire in April 2011. What was it like feeling that you're now a professional sportsman and were playing for your county?
Yeah, it was incredible. Sort of took me by surprise a little bit, really. We had a couple of injuries in pre-season, which gave me the opportunity to obviously to get the nod for that first game, and yeah, straight in, thrown in the deep end and open the batting. Yeah, it was a weird one, like walking out the bat first time. Yeah, it was you know, the nerves were gone, that's for sure. And I'm not overly a nervous person, but yeah, they definitely had the butterflies in the tummy, which was nice.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear. I saw you got 50 as well in the second innings there, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. 50 odd not out. Me chasing a relatively small total, and I was batting with Alex Skidman for quite a while, and he sort of took the pressure off me a little bit, which was nice.
Oh, that's good to hear. And then you played with Muralitharan, an absolute titan of the game. What was it like having him as a colleague? Was everyone in awe of him?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, he's arguably one of the best bowlers of all time. And yeah, it was... wasn't quite sure what to expect as a character, but geez, he's as mad as a box of frogs. Honestly, he's off his head. How old would he have been when he played for us? Probably 40. And, you know, he was acting like a bloody 18-year-old. He was running around playing changing room cricket. And yeah, he was so much fun to be around, an absolute hero of a bloke.
Yeah, I can imagine sort of Hamish Marshall trying to act really cool around him. Was that the case? Or?
I think everyone was trying to act pretty cool around him. You know, everyone wanted to impress him. But yeah, you know, he wasn't there to be impressed by people. He was there to play his cricket and to have a good time. And, you know, he fitted in really well.
Yeah, I remember going to see him at the County Ground, and there was just this awe about him wherever he went on the field. And I could just sense that even the Gloucester players sometimes were slightly in awe of him during the game. Since your debut in 2011, you have only missed one of Gloucester's 123 T20 fixtures. And in that time, you've been the Blast's leading run scorer among middle order batsmen, Gloucester's all-time leading T20 scorer. Why do you think T20 best suits you?
I don't know, really. It was, you know, I'd always liked playing T20 growing up, but, you know, we played a lot of it as youngsters, and then didn't really play a great deal of it at club cricket. We played, you know, the odd game here and there and what have you, but our club cricket, we played a lot of 45 over games, you know, so I sort of got the feeling of how to chase, well, how to set up an innings, chasing in one day cricket, you know, different scenarios and what have you. You know, it's just the way I play. I'm a pretty aggressive player and, you know, not a bad ball striker. So, you know, that sort of took over a little bit. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. And I loved playing in front of the bigger crowds. And, you know, it's just one of those things that sort of clicked for me. And I worked out my game and, you know, pretty quickly, to be honest. And yeah, it was just one of those things that just sort of got a bit of momentum. And yeah, things just sort of kept going pretty well.
That's good to hear. Unfortunately, though, you missed out on the first draft of the 100 in 2019, despite being a constant run scorer in the Blast, averaging only under 30 once since 2014. And you were understandably disappointed, I'm sure. How did you cope with the news? And did you use it to really push you on in last year's Blast, where you were so dominant?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I thought I had a pretty good chance to get picked up, given my stats over the previous years. So, yeah, I actually watched the draft live at home, and you know, as the picks are coming out and your name doesn't crop up, it was, I was starting to get a bit more anxious as the names kept coming out of the hat. And then I was just, you know, and then it sort of dawned on me that, you know, I hadn't been picked up, and I was, yeah, it was a very, very tough pill to swallow. You know, but my type of character, I guess, is, you know, I saw that as a bit of a kick up the bum and sort of give me a renewed bit of like fire in my belly to keep pushing forward. You know, I sort of done a bit of research and got a bit of feedback from the coaches of why I wasn't selected. And, you know, it gave me a big motivation to push forward going into last year's Blast.
Yeah. And everyone really saw how much it did push you on, because you averaged 44 with the bat and a strike rate of almost 170. It was your Blast, it's fair to say, batting-wise. The joint highest six-hitter in the competition. When you hear stats like that, do you ever realise that you're at the pinnacle of your game? Or does it just sort of fly over you that all these stats are coming at you?
Yeah, it was also, you know, I was just getting bombarded with stats because I was coming up to Michael Klinger's record of leading run scorer as well. And, you know, I was getting close to hitting, I think it was 100 sixes or whatever it was. And, you know, just sort of every interview I had was kind of just bombarded with stats. But in terms of the actual season, it's, you know, I got off to, I don't think I got any runs in the first game. You know, and you sort of was going, oh God, is it going to be one of those years or what have you? And the second game against Worcester, I managed to hit a couple of sixes and it sort of kicked me into gear a little bit. And then we had the shortened game against Warwickshire on TV, you know, and obviously got a couple out of the middle that day. And, you know, that, it sort of just kicked on from there, really. I didn't really want to take a back step. And, you know, a lot of the feedback was that my strike rate wasn't high enough. You know, I was probably still striking at 135 or maybe close to 140 for my career, you know, and I was thinking, well, I'm not really sure how much more I can do. So I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to try and tee it up. And if I can get a few away, then if I can get my strike rate up there, then, you know, my average looks after itself. And, you know, people don't really have much of an option then, but to stand up and take notice.
Yeah. And they certainly did. And you've signed for Welsh Fire. How excited are you to play for a different team for the first time since 2011?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, and you come across quite a lot of the lads over the years and around the circuit and stuff. So it's good that we've got Dave Payne and Ryan Higgins there as well. Obviously, I know very well. There's a couple of other lads there who, you know relatively well and to have a good chat with. So yeah, I guess we'll all fit in pretty well, and I, everyone gets along, and hopefully we sort of click into gear as a unit, and hopefully we go pretty well.
How do you see the 100 changing compared to T20? Because there's been quite a lot of talk about how it's quite a different game in some ways, but do you think it might be surprisingly different, and the five balls in and over and everything?
Yeah, I was actually lucky enough. I played in a couple of the trial games a few years back at Trent Bridge, and you know, everyone sort of was going in with an open mind, going, well, how's this going to pan out? Or, you know, is it going to be any good, or is it going to be rubbish or what? And everyone that played in it, you know, they really enjoyed it. There's actually a lot of strategy that goes into it. Given the bowlers can bowl effectively two overs, they can bowl 10 balls. And, you know, I felt like as a batter, it's sort of, there's no sort of middle ground. You get tied down really quickly, and then you're under the pump really quickly because, you know, you haven't got that six ball to bail out. And then, you know, let's say a spinner's bowl and then they rush through five balls, and then you've patted back three dots out of five, and then all of a sudden they're bowling the next five balls, and you're like, oh God, like, you feel like you lose, you know, you lose 10 balls of the game, like, in an instant. Whereas, like, vice versa, if you get a couple of boundaries away in your first couple of balls, you're going, especially if you're hitting, like, let's say with the wind or to a short boundary, you're thinking, I've got 10 balls here, I can really tee this up and I can get into a bit of rhythm, you know. And if you can probably get four or five sixes away, you know, in your 10 balls, especially if you really fancy an end and you fancy a bowler. So it sort of, it works on the, you know, there wasn't really much middle ground. So I'm hoping it'll be good for the spectators. And obviously the reason why they brought it in is to try and attract people who are not necessarily involved or interested in cricket. So yeah, it'll be good to see.
Do you think it might be a more tactical game than T20, with the sort of picking when you bowl two overs in a row and sort of how you sort of use the matchups and everything?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. You know, I think the teams who are going to succeed in the first couple of years are going to be the ones that work out those tactics the quickest. I think once everybody sort of gets on the same board and realizes what the crack is, then, you know, then there'll be different nuances, I guess, in tactics and what have you. And, you know, people could start thinking outside the box or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how people approach it.
Yeah, I know. Me and Dom are really looking forward to it as well. So it should be a good summer ahead.
This is URN.
Enormous from Cobain. Everything he touches turns to gold. It's 6-6.
Last year, like we mentioned, you helped Gloucestershire to a finals day. Getting to finals day is obviously a career highlight, but to have no fans must have been a bit disappointing. To play in October might be a bit unique. How was your experience of the day?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, playing T20, it's obviously the goal is to get to finals day. And, you know, I've watched a few of it, never been lucky enough to go, but, You know, I've watched a few on TV and it looks like a right good laugh. You know, beers are flowing and everyone's having a bloody good time. So, you know, to be out there and experience it was, you know, it was something I was definitely looking forward to. And there not being any fans there was a bit strange. You know, you sort of, you can't really get the whole build-up of the big occasion. You know it's a big occasion, you know, because you're playing in the game. But in terms of, you know, experiencing the atmosphere and taking all that in, then, you know, it was a bit of a shame, but hopefully we can get there again this year, and hopefully we've got some fans in to make it a good day.
Yeah, as a boy from Bristol, I do want to see Gloucester at the next finals day. It's fair to say you've been part of Gloucester's revival from the early 2010s, it's fair to say, and it's sort of been bubbling along with the ground improvements. Gloucester is such a lovely ground to go to now, when I think the mound stand maybe wasn't the most attractive stand in all of cricket. Do you ever think of how far Gloucester has come along with you at a similar sort of rate?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I first joined, it was a very young team. You know, we had our old heads in there, like your Hamish and Alex Gidman and Chris Taylor, Johnny Lewis. But take those guys, you know, apart from me, I was kind of like in the middle between the two. It was me at 24, and then I guess everybody else was under 20. And we've done well to keep that core group of players together, and we've all sort of grown together, and you know, we're extremely, extremely close-knit unit, and keeping that core together has definitely been a reason why we have been so successful, especially in one-day cricket over the last few years.
Yeah, and I know you didn't play in the game, but the game against Surrey sort of capped it off, and what a wonderful day that was for Gloucester cricket. Well, one thing I really want to ask a professional cricketer is something quite personal to my heart. Gloucester kits, you've been through the gladiator period, and now they're, it's fair to say, quite bright, quite yellow. As a kit lover, I have a few questions for you. And is it right if I ask you three very quick questions?
Yeah, sure.
Players get any input in the kit design?
Do you know what? If there's any dodgy kits going around, David Payne is the bloke to complain to. He rates himself as an absolute fashion guru. But we get given a choice of probably four or five different designs that we can possibly go down. And yeah, Payne definitely takes control, being the fashion icon of the dressing room, or so he likes to think anyway.
Oh, those bright yellow kits, is that all his design, do you think? Do you think he's slipped a word into the designer?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, the marketing team do take a little bit of responsibility there of what sort of direction we go down, but yeah, Payne definitely has the final say on the design.
Also, how difficult is it to find bright yellow pads?
Well, luckily we use black pads, so it hasn't been too much of a stretch. So that's been good.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that could have been a bit of a nightmare.
And one last question about kits, and I promise we will move on from here. Do you wear your professional kit around the house, or is it just almost like work clothes, you won't put it on in the house, or do you ever just have breakfast in your T20 shirt?
Not so much my shirt, no. I do wear the jumpers around the house, especially now the new ones that we've got. They've got like a bit of a fleecy inside, so that it's a great pyjama jumper, I must admit.
Yeah, a question that I've sort of had, wanting to ask lots of cricketers and professional sportsmen, how do you guys all decide where you sit in the changing rooms? Is there a specific order? Because away changing rooms are probably quite different to the home ones.
Yeah, so, you know, I sort of, when I first joined, there was a space open where whoever it was before me, you know, and I've been in the same spot since I joined. But there's definitely a pecking order, and there are the best seats in the changing room. They only really get passed on as and when people retire or move on. So, and then it definitely goes up for grabs. Normally the most senior gets the choice, and then you gradually work your way down the pecking order to the younger lads, so they don't get much of a sniff, to be honest.
Does that mean in the next few years you might be moving up towards the upper end, or you're already there perhaps?
Being one of the older ones, I've had the opportunity to up camp and move, but I've stayed loyal to my spot, and yeah, I don't want to move. I've got a pretty good gig where I am.
Sure, yeah. And then on T20s again, you've played all around the country. Are there any grounds in particular that have the sort of the best atmosphere and that stand out as a player where you like to play?
Obviously, Lords is, you know, it's just that's the biggest standout. You know, the whole tradition that goes with the ground and, you know, the just everything that's with it. You know, the food, the changing rooms, the pavilion. It's outstanding. It's absolute first class. But in terms of like actual atmosphere, I'd probably say the Oval is the best. I've been lucky enough to play a couple of T20s there on a Friday night, especially when it's been pretty warm as well. And, you know, you get all the city folk pop down after work and, you know, they're not shy of a few beers and, you know, you get 20, 25,000 pissed up blokes in there and it gets quite rowdy. It's pretty good fun.
That does sound what I want the end of lockdown to be, just in the summer sun, watching you hit sixes for Gloucester against Surrey. I can't wait. We seem to ask this to all our guests, and it's a matter close to me and Toby's heart. What is the best and worst grounds for food at tea and lunch breaks? You've talked about the lasagnas. Where does the best lasagna?
Oh, God. I don't know about the best lasagna, but no, the best food, it's you know, it has to be Lords. They've got an actual proper Michelin star chef in the restaurant or in the kitchen, and you know they just bang out a three course meal with waitress service. It's, you know, it's just top notch. And the Oval is also extremely good food. And then the worst food, it's a toss up. There's a couple of dodgy joints that you don't really want to get. You don't want to be 12th man, that's for sure. And you're looking forward to your lunch.
Yeah, now, as you mentioned before the interview, we have a bit of a surprise for you. My old form tutor and cricket coach is actually Richard Cofftree, an old housemate and teammate of yours.
I've actually just been messaging Coffers just a minute ago.
That is great timing. Yeah, so he was very, very nice in his email about you. He's saying he's one of the top one-day batters in county cricket. And your ability to control the temp of an innings is exceptional. And you can also find the rope when you need to. So he's very excited to see you play for Welsh Fire next year. And he had a couple of questions. So the first one, was your catch to get KP out in against Surrey at Gloucester School your best ever catch?
It would be up there, that's for sure. Yeah, I remember that one, actually. I nearly bloody knocked myself out. Yeah, I'd got a mouthful of the dirt. No, that was a good one. I reckon probably the best catch I've taken was a four-day game against Kent. Dave Payne was bowling and I was at second slip, I think it was, second or third slip. And Martin van Jaarsveld nicked one and I pretty much dived like full length and yeah, took an absolute hanger. I'd probably say that was my best catch that I've taken.
Cheekily, he's asked, has your crossword game improved?
Coppers, he's a belter, isn't he? Do you know what? I've actually stepped away from the crosswords. There's not many of the lads who tend to partake anymore. So, you know, I'm also not playing a great deal of 4-day cricket. So that kind of puts the stoppers on doing a crossword. Coffers was definitely my crossword partner. And yeah, not that he offered a great deal, to be fair. He backs himself as being pretty smart, but you know, he's all talking and not much up top.
That doesn't bode well for my brother's economics grade, as he has him as a teacher then.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say that, since he's looking after quite a lot of students.
And then as you mentioned there, 4-day cricket, what do you guys do during rain delays? Because obviously England, it rains a little bit here sometimes. What kind of stuff do you guys get up to when there's not any cricket being played?
Oh, God. Quite a lot of the lads have a catch up on a bit of sleep, especially the lads who have got kids. You know, I that'll probably be me this year if there is any sort of downtime. You know, a bit of cards. We play quite a lot of cards. Someone's normally got a chipper in their bag as well, and get the golf clubs out and chip a few balls around the changing room. Yeah, I'm not one for sitting still, to be honest. So, you know, I tend to get bored quite easily. So, yeah, I turn into an absolute pest. So, yeah, I normally just start trying to wind people up and see if I can get a bit of a reaction out of people, you know, which sort of goes one of two ways, really.
As an older player, you probably have to come to the end of winding people up because you're now meant to be the one as a role model, really. And has your winding up had to been stopped because you're now the coach's favourite, maybe, and then he goes, why can't you be more like Ian? Or is that just not happening? That's the change of rules.
Oh, there's a time and a place, you know, when the young lads need a bit of a talking to. I'm quite happy to give them a bit of a talking to and tell them to wind their neck in. But, you know, it's all good fun and, you know, you've got to pass the time somehow. You spend that much time together, you know, you need to have a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke at some time.
One last question, Ian, and we're really grateful for your time and we won't keep you much longer. What tip would you give a young Ian Cockburn just before he steps out on the pitch against Derby for his debut?
Oh, God. I'd probably say don't take it so seriously. You know, I used to beat myself up quite a lot about my performance and whether that was a good or bad thing, who knows. But yeah, going back, I'd probably say just sort of chill out a little bit more and stick to your game and stick to what you do best. You know, don't go searching for things that might not necessarily be there.
Yeah, that's a piece of advice that could go to seemingly every work, to every piece of assessments we do at university. And that's quite a nice way to end it. And Ian, thank you so much for coming on. You've been an absolute delight to talk to. I can't wait to see you in Bristol hitting sixes for Gloucester, hopefully against Somerset. This has been Sticky Wickets. You can get us on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks again, Ian, and go well.
No, thanks, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. It was good fun.
Is URM
50 up for Cobain, just 19 deliveries. Well, might the Gloucestershire players be standing in the dugout?